Welcome to Confessions of a Homemaker, a podcast where we discuss and unpack all the things in light of biblical truth. Hey, I'm your host, Haley Lindberg. Hey, welcome here, beautiful. Oh my gosh, it feels like it's been so long. It hasn't been that long though, right? So just to let you guys know what's going on in my life and why, I haven't posted any episodes, in the past 2 weeks. So, you know, just guys, if you remember our family, just keep us in prayer. It has, since moving to Texas, you know, it's been one thing after another, just one wave after another wave after another wave. And, so the last two waves was, we are infested with roaches and, we have bug bombed, we have done all the things, and in our lease, because we're renting, which that in itself is like us, you know, that's a journey of us being content. Anyway, moving on. We have, you know, we're doing what we can do, and the rental company isn't doing anything because it's in the lease that the pest control is up to the tenant. So anyway, we've been dealing with roaches for at least 3 weeks, trying to get rid of them. So if you have any tips, we've done like this poison spray from the feed store. It's like a cousin to boric acid. And then we did bug bombs. We've done like 12 bug bombs. And not, mind you, our duplex is like under 1,000 square feet. So anyway, that just tells you how bad it is. So I am having to, lots of things that the Lord has already worked in me, like being, more mindful of like a cleaning schedule and, just being productive in the home and things like that. So, that has definitely been, and just how disciplined that I was with it, has paid off, because when we've done the roach fiasco, like, you know, there's no food left out because of our evening routine. And, you know, I couldn't say that a year, you know, 2 years ago. So praise the Lord. There is progress, guys. You just got to work on it. So that being said, you know, the things that the Lord has walked me through for years, is paying off with the roach fiasco. So praise the Lord. he was working on my sanctification for this one. Number two, there, I guess, in which I haven't been, you know, the only place I've lived as an adult is California. So, I moved from here to there at 19, and then we lived there our entire adult life. And then we're here back in East Texas. And, I guess with the humidity, it messes with your AC system. So it has been flooding the kids' room, and that carpet that is in their room is old, and it has like a smell when the water hits it. And all the rental company does and is sends out carpet cleaners, and that's it. We also found mold. So anyway, guys, if you could just be praying for us, that would be amazing. So that is why I have not been bringing more content consistently. Like, that was my intention, because this is a hobby for me. Obviously, you know, I have other priorities that come before it. So, if there is a little span of that, normally it's either because I'm like, doing lazy, crazy life things like that, or I'm fasting. I don't know. There's lots of different reasons. Anyway, moving on. So if there is a little gap where I haven't posted anything, any new, you know, episodes in a, you know, a couple weeks, just go back and listen to what I've already, you know, the episodes that are already there. So, that'd be a great time for you to catch up, and hopefully, you know, by then I'll have another episode out. So another thing, number three, update on my life is I have been honestly, since the Lord asked me to do this podcast, I don't know if I'm going to interweave it. I don't know if I'm going to do an overhaul. I don't know I don't know how I'm going to work it. I'm still praying and researching and doing all the things that I need to do this, the thing. But I'm really, really wanting to do content on alternative spirituality and how it's affecting Christianity and the cults and cults that have sprung off of Christianity. Things like that. So, which is really honestly my hobby child. Like, I love, that is like my, that's what gets my blood pumping, is talking about stuff like that. That is like my, that, and obviously the gospel, but to me they go together. So those are like my big, oh, it's like just my, it's my jam. So moving on. In just everything being crazy, and then also, like, all of this was, like, right before I'm preparing to do homeschooling, like, starting our school year and all the things, right? So, what we're talking about today pairs perfectly with the journey of how me and my husband have learned leadership and submission. How and what I mean by learned is like that has been part of our like sanctification as a couple in our marriage, because I think as and I could be wrong, because I was in Christendom as a teen, you know, as a late teen, and got married at 20. And I did not come from a family where both of my parents were believers and were striving for, you know, having Christ at the center and the husband leading and the wife following and doing things as a team and all of that. So I didn't have that influence in my home. I didn't see that lived out practically as an example before me as a child growing up. And because of that, you know, my mom very much was the leader, and that, you know, getting married, and I've seen this like in the church, there's been ministries that have come out of this lack of discipleship in marriage specifically. And, you know, like Marriage After God, Fierce Marriage, there's other stuff out there, but, the lack of discipleship in marriage has been very detrimental to the church, and also our stance on divorce and other things like that, and abuse and whatever, has put a strain on how we disciple marriages, or letting people know that it's okay to be discipled in your marriage, or to have a godly couple that you look up to or ask for wise counsel, things like that. So I believe that there are some people who have to be led and suggested. Sometimes leading doesn't come naturally for some men. And also what you see about God is that he uniquely makes us individuals. And not every man is the same. Not every woman is the same. My husband is perfect for me. I am his perfect helper for, not perfect, but you know what I mean? Like, I am his ideal helper. Like, Drew could not imagine being married to anybody else but me. I am it. So, and in that, I can't imagine being married to anybody else, because over the years of being married, we have had to find, once again, a rhythm of what is leadership for Drew? What does it look like for me to submit to Drew? What does that look like? What does it look like when we need to make decisions together? What does it look like when Drew is feeling led to make a decision and he's the head and he communicates, you know, it's not that I don't agree with what you're saying. Like, I hear you, I understand you, but I believe that this is what is best for our family. Please trust me. And every man leads different. And what I've noticed in the church is that, and I could be wrong, but, and I feel like we do this as a church in general, we have a pendulum swing. One swing is like the bad one. Well, they're both bad, but like one is way over and then the other one is under. So, you know, oversupplying, undersupplying. So one pendulum swing of oversupplying would be, you know, the husband's very, very controlling, you know, he's leading in what he sees, you know, not being gentle and understanding with his wife, you know, he struggles with more of that. And then you have the undersupplying, which my husband would fit in the undersupplying category. And they just struggle with being, whether that's decision making or they don't want to make, you know, Drew doesn't ever want me to feel disrespected or unloved or unheard. So it's hard for him to be assertive, or just put his foot down and be like, hey, you know. So over the years we have had to learn, what does that look like? And honestly, if I'm being transparent, this has been hard for me, because what Christendom portrays is if your husband does not lead this specific way, somehow he's in sin or he's less than when it comes to being a husband. Or that, you know, and it's got in it, or it gets the woman to think that the husband isn't leading, or is he even a believer? You know, just weird things that you start to question. And I remember, there was a spout after my father-in-law died where my husband did not want to go to church. He didn't want to do anything like that. And I remember saying to him, you chose this church. We are going with or without you. And we did for months. And just because, you know, the Bible, like that we are called to submit to God ultimately. And if it violates his word, we do not have to submit. And that includes government. That includes our husbands. So if they're asking us to do something that's against God's word or is deliberate sin or goes against your conscience, submission to authority gets, kind of, you know, different. So, and this isn't, you know, this is God's word. I'm not telling you something that's anti-Bible. So, and submission in our culture is a very bad word, and it shouldn't. It's a beautiful word. And you know, I'm not going to read all of Ephesians 5, but I'm going to read the last of it. And, just finding how discovering and learning and finding, how does your husband lead? How are you willing to submit? Because a lot of it is how we approach one another in our marriage. So I'm going to give you a practical example. And the reason why I did the whole, preface of the storytelling of what's going on in our life, excuse me, right now, is because this is a very practical, real life example of how my husband leads. And the Lord's just been giving me epiphanies, and I'm seeing this because I have been in and out in our marriage. I have been, I mean, at times, guys, distraught, fasting and praying, really questioning, my husband's salvation. And that can be very divisive in a marriage. And I think that's the enemy's point, right? That if your husband doesn't lead like this, or if he doesn't do this like that, like this marriage, or like that guy, or whatever, like there are certain things that they are called to do, but it doesn't mean it's going to look like everybody else's marriage. But yeah, do they fall in the category of over-delivering and they need to tamper it down and learn how to be, you know, handle things more gracefully and be more understanding toward their wife, like scripture says? Or do they under-deliver and they need to learn how to be more, you know, be more of a leader? They're already leading, but lead more intentionally, I guess would be. Both need to be more intentional, just in different ways. So what I have learned about my husband is he's so cute. He makes more like, he'll state a fact, and this is also, all of this boils down to communication. How do you guys communicate? And, he will state a fact, or he'll talk about something, or he'll ask me questions, or he'll see what's going on. And this is why I always ask your husband, because they have a bird's eye view, right? So this is one of the ways that my husband leads. He will just gently suggests to me, very, very gently, and he leads very gently. And I'm very outgoing. I'm very outspoken. I love to teach. I love to explain. I love to talk. And Drew is more quiet. He also loves to teach and he also loves to explain. But, so we both ask a lot of questions but whenever he does, it's very gentle and it's very, like a suggestion. It's not a, you will do XYZ, because he knows I do not respond well to that. There have been a very, very few times I can count on one hand in our marriage where he has put his foot down. And even when he has put his foot down, it's still very gently. You know, he communicates that I hear you, I understand you. I want to make this decision together, but I've prayed and I think we're not on the same page about this and you're wrong. And I have to make this decision for our family because this is what's best. And very few times has he had to do that, but I've trusted in that. And even that was, I didn't have a heart posture of submission, but I outwardly submitted anyway, and it ended up working out. And all the times that I have tried to lead or overdone things, it just screws everything up. So, you know, practically in my marriage, I have seen that the husband leading is the best. So here's what happened. With all of the roach crap, the flooding, the preparing for school, I even listened to my own podcast about preparing for homeschooling. And after I listened to that, I was like, I just don't think we should start school. Like, my calendar's not here. My bulletin's not done. Like, I am just not fully ready to start this day. And so Drew, very, you know, I'd mentioned that a couple of times. And so bird's eye view, here we go. I was like, you know, this, I'm like listing all the stuff I need to do and I'm overwhelmed and I'm coming to him and I'm laying, and this is why I'm going to try not to get emotional, but the marriage is a picture of the gospel. And when we come to Jesus, right, we come to Jesus and we lay our burdens down, we talk to him and he leads us. And I do that, you know, I do that. And I was just talking to Drew and communicating and laying my burdens and talking about stuff. And I obviously had already prayed about it and continue to pray about it. And I just didn't want to listen to the Lord. Sorry, I had a kiddo walk in here. So I just didn't, you know, the Lord had been speaking to my heart. And that's another thing, is like, you have to learn how the Lord speaks to you as an individual. So, or leads you as a individual. And so the Lord spoke through Drew, and I love when this happens because it's so cool. And like I said, we can get caught in this thinking that our husbands are not, they're not doing things the way that we want them to do. And so Drew, just very gently, we were in our room and he was like, honey, I don't think you should start school this week. You're not full. And he goes, you know, you don't have, you know, like you said, you don't have everything ready because I'm following a curriculum. So he's like, you don't have, you know, he was repeating what I had already shared with him. And he was like, so why don't you just start school next week? Like, I mean, it's just 1 week. It's not a big deal. It's really not going to set you back. And also, like, you are really frustrated and I don't think you are ready to start. Okay. So all of those things, the Lord had already spoken to me, and hearing it through Drew, I was like, you're right. You know, I want to sit at the table and do school and have our weather thing and have our calendar and have this, and because it's part of the curriculum. And every school year I do this, I start very scatterbrained, like I mentioned in the homeschool, the preparing whatever episode. And I listened to that two different times. And in that, and through praying, the Lord was like, just start next week. You're not fully prepared. Your heart is not prepared. You are not in the right place to start. Well, Drew said the same thing, but in a different way. And so I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, I need to prepare my heart too. So I listen, you know, I had a choice, and I feel like this is what the Lord does. He tells us what we should do, gently leading, and it is up to us to obey. It is up to us to submit. It is up to us to decide. And I decided that my husband was right, and I'm going to follow his leading, that the Lord is right, and I'm going to follow his leading. And he's using my husband to speak through me, to lead me for his ultimate purpose and his ultimate glory. So I decided to do that. And I spent all week just slowly preparing everything, preparing my heart. And it has just been, it hasn't been perfect. My kid, you know, they're testing, they're being children, they're testing their limits, they're seeing what they can get away with. But just the provision of that wisdom from the Lord, and then again through my husband. Now, mind you, I used to use as an excuse, you know, in this questioning, like, you know, how much does Drew love the Lord? Because I don't see him read his Bible. I don't see him, you know, this list, right? Like, and I struggle with legalism because I left Mormonism. And then I just, that's one of the things I struggle with. I struggle with being legalistic in my thinking. And I had this list of like, well, Drew doesn't do this, and he doesn't do this, and he doesn't do this. And then I had a friend who said the same thing to me. And I just told her, I was like, and I told her, you know, I asked my husband that, like, I have a friend who's struggling and this with this. And I didn't tell him who the friend was. I was just like, you know, because she doesn't see her husband pray. She doesn't see him read the word. She doesn't see him do this and this and this. And he was like, well, does he see her do those things? And I said, I don't know. And he goes, I don't see you do those things, but I know that you love the Lord. And I was, and that, when he said that, that convicted me so much, because I'm looking for this. Yes, the Bible does say to look at their fruits. You will know them by their fruits, okay? But it doesn't say you'll know them by this checklist of do they Bible journal? Do they do this? Do they do that? You know, like, yes, you will know them by their fruits. And what are the fruits? Like, go read that portion in scripture. Like, and it says, like, you will know. And I know that my husband loves the Lord, but because it doesn't look like this guy over here or that guy over there, that doesn't mean that he's not learning how to lead. That doesn't mean he's not discovering how is he as a leader in his family. And, you know, one thing that's been really hard for my husband is praying out loud, and I have learned just lots of different things are hard for my husband. And we lost his dad when we were first married. And my in-laws were our godly couple that we looked up to. Sorry. So losing my father-in-law was very hard, because that was my husband's main discipler. And in everything, in marriage, and being a hard worker, being in the workplace, being a dad, and learning how to lead. And then that was just gone. And so I have been praying for, you know, another mentor, another discipler to come into our life. And also for Drew to understand that everything that his dad, that he had in his dad, is also in Christ. And sorry, I'm like really emotional. I'm so emotional today. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm just, you know, getting the raw and real cut. And I just lost my train of thought. So my point is that the beauty of being in covenant and being married, you have the lifetime to figure out how to communicate, how to lead, how to submit, how to make decisions, how to do all the things, how to do life together, how to be individuals, and to love each other where you're at, and then also to do the things. So, like, one of the ways I have been led by the Lord to help Drew lead better, because that's what it is. It's leading better. He leads, but leading, like, growing in that, right? Because we're not to stay stagnant in anything. We're to grow in our knowledge. We're to grow. We're to learn. We're to mature in that sanctification. And the Lord literally was just like, you know, make suggestions, do this, do that. So I would prompt, I have prompted Drew in the past, like, at dinner, "Hey dad, can you pray for our dinner?" And he'll do it. And he's getting to a place where he's naturally doing it, and it's so cool to see. And I just want to encourage you ladies that there are some husbands who really do struggle with leading, and that can cause resentment or confusion in your marriage. And just don't let it, that's divisive. Sit down and have a talk with your husband about what he's comfortable in leading in and what he's not, and come together and figure this out. You know, find another couple, maybe go to counseling. Like, there's so many different options that you can do to better this area in your marriage. And don't question, you know, I had to stop questioning my husband's relationship with the Lord. I just had to stop because it was getting to the point where it was causing division, and I did not want to submit. I did not want to do X, Y, Z because of this thought that I had that was not true at all. So, but it's neat because, you know, deliberately in prayer over these things, and I'm just seeing them come to fruition, and I'm seeing the Lord answer prayer. And, you know, we tuck our kids in every night and we pray over them. And that's something new that we've done since we've moved to Texas. And I can tell you right now, when the Lord asks you to do something really hard and you obey him, there is tremendous spiritual growth. So ever since we've been married, you know, we've done things that the Lord asked us to do, and it just builds our faith, and it builds our faith, and it builds our confidence. And just since moving to Texas, like, I have seen this tremendous leap of spiritual growth in my husband, and it is, and also in me, and in our children, and in our family. And it's just so cool because it's never going to stop. This is just your journey of living your life as a believer. And it's just neat because you're doing this life together and you can't give up on one another. And that's my encouragement, ladies, is just if you are struggling with you're trying to take the reins and you're trying to lead, talk to your husband about that. You know, and I'm sorry, but, you know, confess your sin and apologize for trying to take the reins. And, you know, maybe you guys need to do more things together. Or, you know, like I said, ask my husband asked him, why are you uncomfortable praying out loud? And for a long time, he was like, because prayer is intimate and this and this. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, can we start slow? You know, could we pray before meals as a family? You know, that's what I mean, is like with one another, help each other grow in the Lord. So I'm going to read this part of Ephesians 5. It's the very, very, very end. The whole chapter is amazing, but, I'm just going to start on verse 29. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church. Since we are members of his body, Paul's quoting a verse from the Old Testament here, verse 31. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This mystery is profound, but I am talking about Christ and the church. To sum up, each one of you is to love his wife as himself, and the wife is to respect her husband. Okay? And I love that because he just sums up the whole chapter. And I love it, like, just in that little portion. And the Lord is just so wise in just what is in his word, like how he has chosen to reveal himself through his word and what he gives us in his word. We have everything we need in this book. We have everything we need in this book to live a godly life. We have everything we need for godly living in this book, as Peter tells us. So, you know, finding leadership, how find leadership in your marriage, and, you know, sit down and communicate, confess sin to one another, confess what you're struggling with, confess what you don't like about submitting, or, you know, like, just be honest and open with one another, and also with the Lord. If submission's hard for you, wrestle that out with scripture. wrestle it out with teaching. Jackie Hill Perry and her husband Preston have a very good teaching. They did a marriage conference, I guess, way back, and they did a teaching on the complementarian view of marriage, and it was very good. I suggest it. I can link it in my social media so you all can check that out. I am a soft complementarian, just if you theology nerds out there are wondering if that even makes a difference. So anyway, I hope this was encouraging. I've had a lot of ladies ask for me to do this episode, and I feel like it was good. I hope you're encouraged, and I am going to try my hardest and, you know, rely, just ask the Lord to provide time and space for me to keep doing this podcast, because I love it. It's encouraging for me. It's encouraging for my close friends who listen. And I am a real person, so reach out to me. I would love to talk to you ladies. Have a awesome day. Thank you for joining me for this conversation. I hope that it blessed you. I hope it encouraged you, and I hope that it causes you to persevere and endure and grow. And I want you to do me a favor. If you are digging this podcast, I would love if you would subscribe, follow, share it with a friend, write a review. Go find me on social media, and thank you so much for your support.